Only a few of the articles of the Declaration of Rights are quoted. They will, however, be quite sufficient to illustrate the Rousseauist Masonic doctrine of the immanent divinity of man and of human liberty as intangible, which underlies the whole document. Of course, there is a certain vagueness about some of the formulae. This is a well-known Masonic trick to deceive the unwary. For example, the uninitiated interpret the first article as follows. Men are free, that is, they can do what the law does not forbid. They may even profess the religion which pleases them. Men are equal in rights, that is, all are equal before the law. All are eligible for public office. All are subject to public duties, to taxes, etc. But the real meaning, the one behind which is the whole driving force of Masonry and of secret societies generally, is that each man in the state of nature to which we must return to be happy is free and independent, like God. All are equally God. Man is born free, that is, unrestrained license is an absolute exigency of human nature. Any kind of submission to any man is contrary to nature. As all are equally God, nature demands that the strictest equality should be realized amongst men, and that therefore everyone should have a vote. Accordingly, in a state correctly formed, an absolute social equality should counterbalance natural inequalities. Needless to say, the logical consequence is communism. For if all men are equal, why are some rich and others poor? The right of private property is the greatest cause of social inequality, so it must be abolished. Other distinctions must disappear as well. If all men are equal, the classification of superiors and inferiors, parents and children, husband and wife, must be eliminated. The state may, of course, allow the family and private property to exist so long as it judges them necessary for the common good of society. But as soon as it finds that the public welfare demands such modifications, the state can emancipate woman and bring together all private fortunes into one common capital. It is strange that professing Catholics do not see the absurdity of proclaiming, in their oratorical efforts, that all men are equal. They ought to realize whither they are being led. It may be said, in opposition to what is here advanced, that Article 17 of the Declaration safeguards private property, of which no one can be deprived except public necessity evidently demands it, and then only on condition of just indemnity being given to the owner. This is only another example of the vague and contradictory character of these formulae. The communists, who push the doctrine of the immanent divinity of man to its logical conclusion, interpret Article 17 in either of two ways. Some say that this article is opposed to Article 1 and demand the suppression of private property in the name of equality. Others admit this article, but say that, of course, public necessity demands the immediate suppression of private property. The proprietors will be compensated, they affirm, by a share in the common revenue. In both cases, the result is the same. The following extract from the writings of Babeuf, one of the most infamous of the French revolutionaries, will show how logically communism follows the freedom and equality of 1789. It is a portion of his address to the French people found amongst his papers and printed by the French Directory. Quote, "People of France, for 15 centuries you were in slavery and therefore unhappy. For the last 6 years you breathe a little in the expectation of independence, happiness, and equality. We are all equal. This principle cannot be disputed. We are determined henceforth to live and die as we are born. We want real equality or death. The French Revolution is only the forerunner of a greater revolution, a far more important one, and which shall be the last. Here are our aims dictated by nature itself and based on justice. The agrarian law for the division of landed property was the demand of some soldiers. We are aiming at something more sublime and more in accordance with justice, the common good or the community of goods. No private property in land. The earth is nobody's property. We are determined to have the enjoyment of the goods of the earth in common. The products of the land are everybody's. Let all those horrible distinctions of rich and poor, masters and servants, authorities and subjects, disappear forever. End of quote. Men are born free and equal, but they make themselves citizens. By nature, they are untrammeled by any social bond, but by an arbitrary contract, they create a society. Human liberty, before the social pact, was absolutely mistress and completely autonomous in each man. Now, under the name of state, it has, of course, the same independence and autonomy, only more enlightened. The general will is the expression of the will of the immanent God. The rule of the majority is the rule of the pantheistic multitude God. The state is God. The will of the state is not limited by natural or supernatural law. The people can do no wrong.